Okay, another thrilling episode of Far From Ideal, and this time we're talking about trailers.
We are talking about trailers, because trailers make me so angry.
In a world where Hannah is angry at trailers.
Which is this world, all the time.
Because you edit trailers, right?
I do edit trailers, yeah. And it's a totally different kind of editing to anything else. Like, it's not just make it shorter.
Mm.
It's a whole different ballgame.
When you come to edit a trailer, are you given a different brief by every different filmmaker that you make a trailer for? Or is it like a sense of, go make me a trailer out of this film and you know what you're doing?
It's like, we need a trailer by yesterday and it needs to be this long.
Yeah.
Is normally the situation.
It's an afterthought.
It's more like after budget thought.
Right. Okay.
Like, nobody budgets for the trailer. And also, it's something that people think of as, yeah, and then we'll do the trailer after, and probably the editor will be able to do it.
Mm.
Someone who's a really good feature film editor isn't necessarily a good trailer editor.
Right, sure.
And the reverse is true.
Yeah.
And it really depends on the format. You might need a 15-second trailer, 30-second, 1 minute, whatever.
Sure.
Very different if you're doing trailers for, you know, for social media or for film festivals or for a theatrical release, all really different. There are different expectations, right? And this is kind of
and genre to genre as well, right?
Different fashions as well, like different trends come in.
Sure, yeah.
The classic is like obviously the 80s big voice.
Yes, yeah.
Even now, if you look at a trailer from 5 or 6 years ago, it feels dated.
Yeah.
Whether it's the fonts, the style, the sound effects, the pacing.
I'm sure I've mentioned it to you before, but the trailer that they're cutting in Scrooged.
Yeah.
For the live version of A Christmas Carol that they're producing. So the first version that he puts forward is this like brutal action film style trailer.
Yeah.
So it's like blood, guts, your family might die this Christmas. Yeah, so spend your last moments together.
Yeah.
You know, versus the one that they end up on, which is very lightly narrated, and mm-hmm. I think the tagline is "You'll love it," but you'll spell Y-U-L-E, right? Those little puns.
Oh, it's such a good film. I mean, even that, the parody of trailers, like in Tropic Thunder, where there's that whole opening sequence of Ben Stiller's character is in like the eighth thing with the twin babies on the burning planet, and then the what's the one?
Simple Jack, is it? Is that
the Simple Jack is another one, yeah. And then there's the Robert Downey Jr. one. I think it's Robert. Is it with Edward Norton where they're like gay priests?
I don't know.
So funny.
Well, I mean, they do that in the Grindhouse films as well, right? It's not exactly the same thing, but it is effectively parody trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Which a couple of them they ended up making into full length features later, right?
Yeah.
So Machete started out as a trailer in Grindhouse.
Yeah, as a gag, parody basically. Trailer.
Yeah. I think, I mean, again, they're parodying very obvious tropes of older trailers.
And there's a good point you make about genre, because sometimes the studio that have created whatever trailer it is to get people into the cinema doesn't match the film at all.
Mm.
And I now can't think of any examples, but that's definitely happened to me. We've gone in and it's
where the marketing for the thing is completely wrong. Was Donnie Darko an example of that? I don't know if it was trailer specific or if it was marketing.
Yeah.
There was a big sort of like missed expectation when it came to what people thought that they were getting when they went into it.
Yeah, because from their point of view, once you've paid for the ticket.
Bums on seats, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not the point, because then people are going to go and talk about the film. And if you're not getting what you expected from the film, you're going to think it's a bad film, even if it isn't necessarily that.
Mm.
Even in the sense of what the opening is. Like, if the opening is different from the rest of the film, you feel kind of cheated.
Sure.
There's an expectation that's being set up, right?
Yeah. I mean, and I think the easiest thing to have a good trailer for is anything where there is a core, obvious, simple mystery component to it.
Mm.
Did you see Weapons?
No, I haven't seen it.
Have you seen the trailer for it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so it's just very, like, it just, and the film does it as well, because it's, you know, it's setting up a mystery at the start as to why these children have gone missing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that, like, basically one line, and it's short enough to put on the posters as well.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is the answer to that mystery?
Great concept.
great concept, great trailer as well, because you're just setting up something that people want to know more about,
yeah,
versus like giving a beat by beat play of the entire film, which some trailers do, right?
Oh my gosh.
Like, there's a number of trailers you watch and you're like, why do I need to watch the film?
To the point where, and this is the key of why I wanted to talk about this, the Fall Guy, the Ryan Gosling one.
Yeah.
That is a good film. It does what it is trying to do. It's funny. It's amazing stunts. It's a film about filmmaking. Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt are just perfect together. And they used the finale, the biggest set piece, is in the trailer. And so the first time that I saw it, I had that in mind and was like, okay, well, at some point in the, you know, in Act Two, we're going to see this massive stunt.
Mm.
And it doesn't come in Act Two. I was like, okay. And then in the beginning of Act Three, we still haven't seen it. I'm thinking there's no way that can't have been the ending. And it got to the point where it's so late in the film that I was like, maybe they just only shot that for the trailer and it's not even in the film. And then it's the finale.
Mm.
That just ruined my entire experience of watching the film. And then the second time I watched it, I enjoyed it a lot more because I wasn't waiting for that scene.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've talked before about Bruce Almighty, right? With the trailer for that just spaffing all the jokes immediately.
Yeah.
And that's a bad thing to do for a comedy film thing. Right, especially a comedy film with not that many jokes. And there's been a number of comedy films that I've seen like that where it's, you know, I know the jokes going in,
yeah,
and so it's like, oh, that was in the trailer, why am I
watching this,
watching the whole film, right?
And then interestingly, you can kind of have the opposite where when we were watching all of those horror trailers last year,
oh yeah.
We watched like Smile 2, even the trailer gave me nightmares and I was like, okay, well, this is not a film for me.
That actually is kind of a good thing with horror.
Yeah.
That you can very often from a trailer. I was actually just rewatching the trailer from Blair Witch Project, which...
I've not seen that, the trailer.
Super, super dated, obviously, because it's from the 90s. But it's... But again, it conveys elements of... And they had a fantastic marketing campaign with one of the first websites that was associated with an indie production like that, where they created a marketing campaign which was to make it all look as though it really was found footage.
Wow, that's smart.
It sets up almost the level of horror to expect from something. Mm-hmm. Like, I know kind of where this is going to be on the scary meter to some extent. You know, I know this is going to be terrifying, or I know this is going to be sort of silly.
Yeah, so much of it is about tone.
Yeah.
Jordan Peele's films. I loved Nope. I thought it was brilliant. It was one of the best films that I saw that year.
I liked it, yeah.
And the more people I spoke to, the people who didn't enjoy it were the ones who had seen the trailer.
Right, okay.
And not because it gave stuff away, but because it marketed itself as a pure horror, and it's not.
No.
It's much more of a kind of monster movie.
It's sort of it's sci-fi-ish. a fusion of different genres, right? Like it's quite quite hard to categorize.
Yeah, which is fine. And you can get that across in a trailer.
Mm.
You can give a sense of a vibe without it being pigeonholing it into this specific genre, which is then misleading people into thinking that they're going to get something that they're not.
Mm.
Never mind the spoilers. I mean, that's something that I thought was interesting about Gillian Flynn, who wrote Gone Girl.
Mm.
She wrote the book and she also wrote the screenplay. And when they were optioning the book, she had it in her contract that she had final say over the trailer because she knew that they would give the twist away.
Yeah, which is a bizarre, because you think about, like, so those old trailers that, you know, sort of you make fun of as the inner world where there is a formula and a format to what they're doing with that,
mm-hmm.
which conveys bullet point pieces of information about the world and the tone and the story that they're setting up.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a smart thing to do versus just here's the whole film put piece by piece by piece into, you know, a shortened version, effectively.
There's always a point, and it's about 60 seconds in to the trailer, where you're thinking, okay, first 15 seconds, you get the vibe, something interesting happens for the next 20, 30.
Yep.
The last bit is the hook, and that's where you stop.
And it moves beyond.
And then it goes further.
Yeah, because they're too long very often.
Yeah, way too long.
The trailer for Speak No Evil.
Oh, the James McAvoy.
James McAvoy one, yeah. It was such a long trailer, and it showed so much of the plotting of it. It's like, well, I know...
Everything.
At least the initial beats now, and I can see where that's obviously going to go to in some respect. I mean, they can do different things with it, but way too far down the road with it.
Whereas Heretic and Trap, which we've talked about in previous episodes. Oh,
fantastic trailers.
Amazing trailers.
Traps trailers so good.
Brilliant trailers, because there's not enough in the film to give away.
Heretics trailer's good because the first half of the film is pretty much what they rely on for the trailer, from what I remember.
Yeah.
And that's the best part of the film.
That's great.
Yeah, and Trap, again, same thing, actually, right? The first half of the film is what they use.
Yeah, and then none of where it falls
and
apart.
And they don't give you the second half, and the second half is where it completely falls to pieces, which I suppose sort of like counters the point in the sense that it's giving too much information away, because they're not with those ones, but they're only giving away the information about the good.
Yeah, because that's all there is.
Yeah, I mean, it's smart marketing.
And sometimes it can go the other way, where things like, we've spoken about Netflix trailers.
Yeah.
This new animation by the studio and the creator of BoJack Horseman, long story short.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I kept hearing about it, and then I watched the trailer. I don't normally watch trailers on Netflix. So I'll just watch the beginning of it. But I did watch it, and was like, okay, the animation style is cool. Don't really love the vibe. It's not what I was expecting. He's very fast. He's a very fast-paced writer. And it was all these kind of deep emotional beats of it's family and it's generational and all of this kind of stuff. That's not what the series is like. So I watched the trailer and was like, okay, I'm not really up for that.
Right.
And then had some time and was like, okay, I'll give it a go. And it's totally different.
Yeah, I mean, you can argue that that would be very easy to edit from BoJack as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can do that with anything, right? You can, like, there's so many, like, let's say Mrs. Doubtfire, but make it horror, right? Fake trailer type, especially as a horror type trailer, because it's so easy to cut anything into a horror trailer.
Yeah.
You know, it requires some close-ups. It requires some...
different music.
Yeah, different music, some audio stings to make something that isn't a jump scare appear like it's a jump scare. Yeah. It's easy to convey such a different tone.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, one of the things that I did a while back now, I was shadowing at Patrick, you know, who do Have I Got News For You and Dairy Girls and that production studio. So I was in their post department and they had that shown me around and stuff. And then there was a bit of a break. And so they were like, here's a bunch of our footage, just edit something. It's like,
cool. Oh, okay.
They had all of their different programs and they had quite a lot from Dairy Girls. So I was like, well, that's a fun one. The guy had said to me, you know, someone previously made a horror version of Dairy Girls. I was like, horror's not my thing. I just ended up editing this trailer that was like a queer drama coming out, really heavy story. Yeah. And I just went in that direction, but it was fine. Just to like not, basically took out all of the comedy. The whole point of editing is it's building blocks, right? And when you've got an entire film, getting enough of the essence in that you're giving a true sense of what the film is without giving away any of the twists. Absolutely nothing after, you know, the midpoint, I think, should be a rule. And it shouldn't be longer than a minute.
Yeah.
You're going to give too much away. Because unless you're doing a very slow, you know, like Park Chan-wook does amazing trailers that are just a vibe, right? It's the sea and it's a bit of a fragment of sound design and someone chatting and it's 20 seconds and that's it. And because you know the director, you're like, okay, that's something that I want to see, or it's not something I want to see. And I feel like we're in this super fast-paced, get in as much information as possible style, which lends itself to spoilers.
Mm.
Another trailer that did really well, I thought was really good, was the Oppenheimer trailer, because I didn't want to see Oppenheimer. I wasn't interested in it at all. And then I saw the trailer. It's like, it was a brilliant trailer, and it gave enough sense of what the film was about and what the style was and the direction it was going that I was excited by it.
You can kind of pick out those trailers where it obviously has been thought about a bit more from the perspective of someone like more closely attached to the material, right? So someone who's either the actual editor themselves, potentially, or the directors that had more of a hand in it. There's an artistry to editing, obviously, and you can see different editors' fingerprints on different things. And if something looks, I guess, cookie cutter, in terms of a trailer, it looks like, oh, okay, I'm just trying to put as many beats of the film across as possible. I'm trying to like fit it into a certain amount of time, versus something looking like it was edited by the same hand as the actual editing of the film. Especially when it is something, I mean, because Oppenheimer, you know, like it or not, like there is a more artistic quality to Christopher Nolan's films than maybe some other films. you know, seeing the same fingerprints in the edit of a trailer as to the edit of an actual scene within the film is noticeable, right? And being across that same feeling is important because yeah, something does get lost in translation. I mean, as you say, you can edit the same scene pacing-wise and tone-wise and, you know, in so many different ways, right? With just the same raw material.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And actually, even with Oppenheimer, now that you say it, I think part of the issue that I had was that discrepancy between what I saw in the trailer, which was very Nolan, and I love Christopher Nolan films. Some of his films are some of my favourite films. And then Oppenheimer, the film, I felt like we didn't see that Nolan style come in until the last act.
Oh, interesting.
That playing with sound design and perspective and the interiority of the characters. Before that, it was just like men shouting in rooms.
It was very long, that film.
And the trailer was not that long.
The shorter trailers don't tend to be better because they grab you.
Yeah.
There's a point that you go beyond in terms of that initial grab at which you're starting to lose me now.
Yeah. And it's about 61 seconds.
Yeah.
For me, it's like
There's a rhythm to it and a pace to it that you feel, and you'll often hit that sort of crescendo point around the minute, and that's all you need.
And then it just wavers after that. And I think even more than that, even more than spoilers, I mean, it kind of is the same thing, but showing a trailer for a film that I am in the cinema to see should be illegal.
I mean, it's mad.
Is that allowed? I've sat in the cinema with my eyes closed and my hands in my ears because I'm like, I'm just about to see this.
Do you watch a lot of trailers? I mean, obviously you edit them, but do you watch a lot of trailers?
Not really.
No.
I should probably watch more, given that I edit them.
I wonder why there... Because there, a lot of people complain about this, obviously. But, I mean, it must be a powerful marketing tool, and there must be analytics behind it now to prove that a certain length of trailer is an effective thing in terms of pulling people in, you would imagine, right? Mm-hmm. They wouldn't keep making 2 and 3 minute trailers if there wasn't some underlying reason for it.
Yeah, but I wonder if the reason is misleading. Like, it goes back to bums on seats rather than people actually enjoying the film and rating the film afterwards. It's just getting people in the door. And also, even with these big blockbuster ones that go on too long, what I've found recently in the last few years is that the teasers that they do before the trailer, which will be 20 to 30 seconds, are always really good. Even the Fall Guy one was really good. But then they do the 3 minute one.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like a deal with the distributors that they have to do that, or if it's a hangover from some other time in production where that was necessary, but it doesn't work.
I'm just looking at an article here about trailer length.
And do they have any answers for those things?
9 times out of 10, the more of the plot you give away, the more interest you garner from audiences, Matt Brubaker, president of theatrical at Trailer Park, told them.
Well, yeah, because he's selling trailers.
Well, exactly. Obviously, he's going to say that. You've got a vested interest, Matt.
He's like, trailers need to be longer and we need more trailers.
Yeah.
Studies show that we need longer
trailers. We need 3 versions of every trailer. One has to be a minute, one has to be 2 minutes, and one has to be 3 minutes.
And you need it only from us.
Oh my God, there's so many trailers. There is something very different to the experience of seeing a trailer at the cinema.
Yeah.
And especially like a trailer of the right kind of length at the cinema to seeing something
at home.
Yeah. I'm not a big horror fan. I do watch a lot of horror, but The Black Phone had a very good trailer. Again, central mystery kind of stuff, right? Where there is the abduction of a child by this guy in a mask. And I actually think the trailer for The Black Phone 2 looks pretty bad, unfortunately, which is, you know, because I actually ended up quite liking The Black Phone, but the trailer for that was very good. I mean, best movie trailers of all time, according to IMDb, you've got Dark Knight, Braveheart, Wicked...
Yeah, but these are also just like just big old blockbuster films, things where you already kind of know what's going to happen anyway, right?
Exactly. So you've got good raw material to work with and you're not really spoiling anything because you kind of know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Or at least you kind of know some of the big beats, some of the big characters already.
The thing that's fun at the moment is that I'm doing a lot of trailers for shorts.
Oh, yeah.
You need to do a trailer for a 6 minute short. It's not going to be 3 minutes long.
I saw the trailer for Universal Language, which was Canada's entry for the Oscars. Maybe last year, maybe the year before. And I really liked the trailer. I like the film, but the trailer really drew me in to go and see the film.
Yeah.
I did have a couple of the comic beats for a film that doesn't have a lot of comic beats.
Yeah.
It may have misrepresented it very slightly, but good trailer for that. Good trailer.
Yeah, it's such a balance, isn't it? Because even a film like Sing Sing, you feel like it would be easy not to spoil that, right? And in the trailer, one of the core lines, the kind of high points of the trailer, is the conversation between the two leads that comes in the third act after he's had this whole journey.
Yeah.
And so again, for me, it's like, you know, sometimes someone will be telling me about a film and they're like, oh, it's not a spoiler, present company excluded. Like, don't tell me anything because I'm just going to be waiting for that scene.
You do the trailer of The Sixth Sense and Bruce Willis is like, I was dead all along. Like in the...
I mean, as I was saying that, I realised that most of what we do on this is actually give away spoilers.
Yeah, we're always spoiling stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we should do a Far From Ideal trailer. And it's only Nick Holt.
In a world where Nick Holt is the only actor, he plays
one degree of Nick Holt.
1 degree of Nick Holt.
Coming soon.
To cinema near you.